How do you find and keep hope alive?
I remember for me, you know, it was like, I was almost like, man, did I just finally push my parents too far? They've quit asking me to go to church. They quit asking me to do these things. And then I had a lot of time to kind of reflect. And I think that's when God kind of got in there and did what he was doing. We just need to get out of the way and let God do what God does.
This is what hope sounds like.
Hey, this is Carol from the Light FM Morning Show. I'm honored today to be talking with Mr. Zach Williams. Zach, thanks for taking time today to spend with us.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, we want to just talk quickly about your story because we realize that we've heard your story, but a lot of our listeners have not. So you were on a very different path than you're on right now. So kind of take us back, rewind the clock and tell us what you were doing, kind of what was happening in your life and how God kind of interrupted things and changed your course.
Sure. I grew up in church. So, I mean, I grew up with, you know, the knowledge of Christ. I grew up with, you know, my parents planted that seed. You know, there was a foundation. There were some roots that were there. My dad was a worship leader. So I was around Christian music growing up as a kid. Honestly, didn't know there was any other music other than like Christian music or the oldies station. Somewhere along the way, got mixed up in just kind of running around with the wrong crowd. Or, I mean, honestly, I was probably the wrong crowd, to be honest with you. Kind of like, small town, you know, not a lot going on. Kids are, you know, messing with drugs, messing with alcohol, and one thing leads to another. And the next thing you know, you're getting in trouble in high school. And that's what happened with me. You know, my dream was to play in the NBA. I wanted to play basketball in the NBA. And my senior year of high school, I got in trouble for drug use, and I lost 2 Division I basketball scholarships. And so I didn't I ended up dropping out of school at Christmas of my semester break, my senior year. My dad had a construction company, so I went to work for him. And while I was working for him for that year, I met a guy, and I ended up playing basketball in like a independent intramural type men's league. And while I was playing, I met a guy who got me a tryout at a junior college in Northwest Arkansas. And so I went up, tried out for the team, made the team, got a full scholarship. I was like, my life's back on track. Here we go. You know, this is everything I've dreamed of. And then freshman year, I tore all the ligaments in my ankle and redshirted. And so I thought my life was over. My roommate had a guitar in our apartment. And like I said, I'd grown up around music. There was always a guitar in our house growing up as a kid, but I didn't have a desire to play music. You know, I wanted to play sports. But all of a sudden I found myself kind of sidelined. I wasn't traveling with the team. And so I picked up this guitar and immediately fell in love with it. Bought a poster with all the chords, and I put it on my wall. I would sit at the edge of my bed and taught myself how to play guitar. I ended up taking a poetry class, creative writing class in college, and started writing music. And, you know, for like the next 8 to 10 years, that's all I did. You know, I carried a guitar around with me everywhere, played music everywhere I went, anybody that would listen. Ended up, you know, starting a band, joining a band in my late 20s. And around that time I met my wife, and, you know, things kind of took off pretty quickly. And I was one of those guys that kind of always lived 110%. And so I'm in this band. I have an idea or an image of what I think a rock star is and how you live your life, and drugs and alcohol and excess was like, that was the thing. And so I kind of threw myself into that, and I got myself into a really dark place. You know, I think a lot of it was a guilt, you know, and thing, just knowing that I'd been raised to be something different. You know, I'd had church experiences as a kid, you know, not really understanding what it was, if it was a calling, if it was, you know, just kind of God tugging on my heart or what it was. But I knew enough to know that I was living a life that I wasn't supposed to be living. And so in 2012, I was leaving for Europe for a month, and my wife was pregnant with our daughter. And I was honestly on the verge of probably a divorce and losing my family. And I just remember, you know, kind of praying and saying, God, if you're real, if you're who you say you are and you can prove it, then I'll leave this life behind me. And about 2 days later, we were on a bus driving across Spain, and I was in Europe at the time. And our bus driver was scanning radio stations, and it stopped on a song called Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave. And man, the song rocked my world. And I called my wife and I said, you're never going to believe this, but I heard this song, it was God moment, and I'm done. You know, when I come home, I'm quitting the band, canceling my shows, you know, and I don't think she really knew how to process that. She didn't think I would ever, you know, she knew that was my identity. But I came home from that tour and quit my band and canceled my shows. And we ended up in a church. And within a year, I ended up helping that church launch a campus. And I went to work for the church as kind of a worship leader and campus director. And I worked there for about 3.5, 4 years. And I got invited to Nashville to write some music and wrote Chainbreaker with a couple of people and ended up signing a record deal. You know, I was almost 40 years old. I played music for 20 years, and, you know, here I am with a record deal at 40. And I was kind of like, you're going to have to do something quick, God, because I have 10 years to, like, build this thing. And so, and the rest was just kind of like the Lord just kind of took over. And, you know, these last 6, 7 years have been, I mean, it's been nothing short of just, you know, just seeing God work and move in my life and all around. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the thing that I want our listeners to hear, Zach, is that you didn't have a perfect past. None of us do.
Yeah.
But that has so shaped your songwriting and the way that you communicate through your music. And we have seen and heard story after story after story, from Chainbreaker to The Heart of God. I mean, just all of these songs that kind of speak to a deeper level of who you are, but also speak to other people because you had a past and a story.
Yeah. I mean, I think for myself, in some ways I still feel like a broken, you know, a broken person that God's using. And I think for me, I keep it that way because I like to keep the past close because I don't want to go back and revisit it, but it's there enough. I write from that place a lot of times because I know the world's full of broken people, you know, and I try to write music. I try to write songs and stories from my past, from my own personal life that I feel like others can relate to. And, you know, I all the time I'm asking myself, you know, why, God, are you using me to do this? Because I still feel like there are so many things that I need to work on in my own life that I don't have it, you know, together yet. But that's the thing. I mean, God takes broken people and takes their messes and turns them into messages. And so for me, that's the best part about this is when you sit down with an idea for a song and a lyric and a message, and you just say, God, go, you know, go find those people that need to hear this. And then you get to hear a story about how this song changed somebody's life you know, and because I'm a product of that. I mean, for me, I heard a song, changed my life, and music is powerful, you know.
So what would you say, because we get a lot of calls from parents who have wayward kids who say, you know, they grew up in the church, they've walked away from their faith. We hear that a lot. So what would you say to a parent who's listening right now, who maybe you could relate because your own parents felt a little bit hopeless in your situation?
Yeah.
What would you say to the parent?
Man, I think what I saw my parents do, and just the thing that, you know, I think we pray, you know, and we want to see results like right then. We want God to, like, but sometimes God doesn't do that. In my, for me, I was 33 years old when I gave my life to the Lord. You know, my parents had prayed for me, had been there, had, you know, prayed to God, had done, you know, done it all. And I'm sure there were days and times that they wanted to give it up and walk away from it. But I think at some point too, maybe after you've prayed and you're not seeing results in the time that you want to see them, you start thinking that you can go out and do it on your own, or you can save your son or your daughter. And so you go to drastic measures to try to get them in church, or to try to do this, or to try to do that, when all you're really doing is pushing them away even more. And I think what I just saw my parents do finally was just, they were kind of like, okay, God, we're done. Like, we give it all to you. We have tried our best. Only you can save him. Only you can change him. And that's when I think you just, you know, when you just completely step back and get out of the way and just let God do what God does, that's when I remember for me, you know, it was like, I was almost like, man, did I just finally push my parents too far? They've quit asking me to go to church. They quit asking me to do these things. And then I had a lot of time to kind of reflect. And I think that's when God kind of got in there and did what he was doing. It was like, you know, really working on me through that time. But, you know, praying for your kids, speaking that life truth over them, you know, just believing. I mean, and God has plans for all of us, you know. And so that's really it. I think a lot of times we just need to get out of the way and let God do what God does.
Absolutely. We'd like to say thank you for sharing your heart. Your songs are so powerful and have meant so much to us.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.